and I'm in the right spot here this morning. Amen. I've been really dealing with this message on my heart since about Friday morning when I woke up. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke, the 23rd chapter. And once you find your places, if you're willing and able to stand with me for the reading of the Word of God, Luke 23, the great crucifixion chapter of your Bibles. Amen. It's good to be saved. It's good to know Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
If you need a minute, tell me to hold on. Well, praise the Lord. I give you just a second. Amen. Luke 23. And the Bible says in verse 32. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be the Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also marked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself. And the superscription also was written over him in the letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which hang railed on him, saying, If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Doest not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly for receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we're just so thankful for the opportunity to be here this morning. Father, oh, we're just so thankful for your love, your grace, your mercy. Father, we're thankful for Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith. Oh, Father, I need your help here this morning. Oh, Lord, you know what you've laid on my heart. You know what I've been going through, dear Lord. And Father, I ask you to help me here. Oh, Lord, without you, there'll be no preaching of your word. Father, I ask there'll be one here that's lost and dying in their sins, dear Lord. Oh, Father, I ask you'll send the Holy Ghost to where they're sitting at here this morning. Oh, Lord, put them under Holy Ghost conviction that they'll come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior before it's eternally too late. Oh, Father, maybe there's one here today, dear Lord. Oh, they need something in their life. Father, I ask that you'll put on their heart what they need, dear Lord, and they'll make it all right. Oh, Lord, we'll just love you and we'll praise you. Be careful to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Some of you have probably heard this message that I'm going to preach here this morning. I preached it back in September underneath the tent. I want to look here today at a case of a dying thief. As we look into the message of this dying thief, I want you to know here this morning that there are three men that's represented on Calvary's Hill. Those three men have been nailed to three different crosses, dying three terrible deaths. The difference in their suffering were minimal. There wasn't a big difference in how their suffering was going along. The difference of the man were enormous.
Amen.
There's a huge difference that you'll find here of these three men. Let's take a look here at one of the things. On one side, there is a thief that is dying in his sins. On the other side, there is a thief that is dying for his crime. There's no doubt about it that both the thieves that are dying on the crosses there that day deserve what they are getting. They deserve the beating, the pain, the torture that they were presented. I know the Bible doesn't tell us a lot of these two men and how they were beating before they were carried up to Calvary. But as knowing in history and knowing the Roman government, they were beating, they were bruised. They were hit on, they were spit upon, just like Jesus. But Jesus took a worser beating than those two men. And then the man on the middle cross, he hangs there, and he offers power to the people. So as we look at this today, I want you to know that as they, and I'm going to try to paint you a picture of Calvary. I probably won't do a very good job of it. Hey, man, but if you want a beautiful picture of it, just open your Bible and read it, and it'll explain it all to you. But we see here that on this cross, we have the three men. We have a thief, we have our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and then we have another thief. Around the cross, we have Roman soldiers that are there to protect and to watch over the crucifixion. We also are told in the Bible that this was about the sixth hour in the Gospel of Luke. We see here that we have the leadership of the Jewish governors were there, and they started an uproar. If you remember before we got to this point on Calvary's Hill, that Jesus was not pardoned, but Barabbas was let go. Then the angry crowd, as Pilate asked, "What shall we do with him?" The angry crowd began to holler out, "Crucify him, crucify him, and crucify him." The government, the Jewish leaders were able to get the crowd to back them, even though Pilate was against the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. When we see here, now, like I said, we don't know much about these two men. But I believe the Bible gives us a great definition to look into this case this morning. We'll see here that this dying thief, he is in a hopeless situation, Brother Eddie. You see, the description here clearly tells us of the terrible trouble that he was in. He was hopeless. He was a thief. He was dying in his sin. This man is called a malefactor in the scripture. That means that word means evildoer. In Matthew 27 and verse 38 says that he was a thief. He is guilty of breaking the law of man. But not only is he guilty of breaking the law of man, he is also guilty of breaking the eighth commandment of the law of God, which is thou shalt not steal. See, this man is beyond guilty of committing blasphemy of God. If you remember back, if you want to take it and read it later, you can go over to Matthew 27 and you'll read where they railed on him. That means to blaspheme him. That means to cuss him. That means to talk evil of him. These thieves that were crucified with him was doing the same in their teeth, the Bible says. That means when the Jewish leaders were blaspheming the Son of God to his face, this thief looked over and he decided, "I'm going to do it too." He decided, "I'm going to be the one that cusses him. I want to get down off of this cross. I want to be what they're saying that he can do for me." How many of us have been there in our lives when we sit there and we point fingers at God but never at ourselves? That we blaspheme the Son of God to his very face because we're not getting what we want. As we sit there in self-pity and we sit there and whine and we sit there and try to figure out, why me, why me, why am I going through this? Why do I got to do this? This is not my fault. I shouldn't be going through this right now. I don't need to do this right now. Oh, Lord, why are you putting me through this right now? You know what? You're just like that thief. When you do that, you're just like the thief that's hanging on the cross. So many of us like to point fingers at God, but never at ourselves. I don't know why God would put me through this. I don't know why He would do this. Why God, why me? God, why me? Why'd I fail? Why'd I do this? Why'd I do that? We're just like that dying thief. That's all that we are. But they mocked Him. They cursed Him. They blaspheme Him. They speak evil of Him. Wicked things against our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They committed the serious offense and they sinned against the Lord. Of course, even though, brother, if this thief would have lived a perfect life, amen, he still would have died and went to hell.
That's right.
Because he was born in his sins. Everybody in this room, you are born in your sins. I do want you to understand that some people believe that you do not inherit the guilt of Adam's sins. I want you to know that is a lie. You are born a sinner.
Amen.
You are born. That is hearsay. That is not true. You are born a sinner. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
That's right.
Now, I don't know about you, but I'm part of that all this morning. And guess what? I'm also, along with that thief, Brother Eddie, on that cross, I fell short of the glory of God. He was a sinner, and he was receiving the wages of sin. For the wages of sin are death, the Bible tells us over in Romans 6 and 23. It just so happened that the sin of his heart led him to commit the sin of the flesh and put the odds of the odds with the law of man. He was facing the wrath of man, but soon he'd be facing the wrath of God in hell. Did you know right now that the Roman government did not think this man deserved to live? He was facing the wrath. Me and you today can face the wrath of man. But one day, the Bible says, it's appointed unto man to die once. Then after this is the judgment. So that means after we die, guess what? We face the wrath of God. And this thief is facing the wrath of man. But soon he'll close his eyes in death and he'll have to face the wrath of God and an eternity in hell. This is just like me and you. Did you know that? We were sinners before God. We may not be guilty of thief or murder or crime such as that nature. But me and you are born in our sinful states. And we are sinners by nature. You say, well, not me. Well, I'm sorry, you're wrong. But thanks be to God for Jesus Christ. I'll get into that a little later. But the Bible I want you to know says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
That's right.
The thief here had a sentence. In verse 33, it tells us, and when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, they there crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and one on the left. Did you know the cross is the worst punishment or the worst death that has ever been created? Somebody says the electric chair. No. The electric chair sends an electric shock through your body and kills you almost instantly. The crucifixion was so brutal. It was so agonizing. It was so much pain that this thief, when he was nailed to his cross, was slowly beginning to suffocate and not be able to breathe. Not on top of that, think of the beating that he must took. Now, I want you to know they say that the cross, the middle beam of the cross, it weighs about 125 pounds. Now that's a lot of weight, isn't it? But when we look, we notice that they were crucified, the Bible tells us. That means the victim slowly sagged down like this and was suffocating themselves. This caused great pain. This caused your body to tension up. It caused it to cramp up. And you couldn't move, Sister Joyce. You know, like you get a cramp in the bed and you jump up and you're able to get it to go away. This man couldn't do that because he was nailed to his cross. If he had a cramp, he had to fight through it. If he thirsts, he had to ask for water. And we see they gave Jesus vinegar. So, you know, guess what? They probably got vinegar as well. I can only imagine the pain that this man is going through. I'm glad that I'll never have to face the crucifixion myself.
Amen.
I will never be crucified. I shouldn't say never. There might become a time in America where they will crucify Christians again. I don't know that or not. But could you imagine hanging there that day and the pain and the agony that you must have been in? This man had to be hurting. This man had to be in a lot of pain. This man's sins have now come down and bared straight on his shoulders to where he was being put to death. I've never had a nail driven through my hands. Never had one driven through my feet. But I can only imagine the pain of it. But could you imagine something where the Bible says that Jesus was beat 39 times because 40 was known to kill a man? I do not think these thieves were beat nowhere near 39 times with the whip. I do not think they would have made it to Calvary. Mm-hmm. But could you imagine 10 lashes with one of those whips across your back? Mm-hmm. Or when they got done whipping you, they decided they wanted to smack you and hit you. They wanted to try to destroy you. That thief was facing all of this. He was in a lot of sorrow. The two men that were dying on the cross, they deserved what they were getting. They was in sorrow. This man who was dying was so different from the other one on the other side, and I get into that in a little bit later. But I do want to remind you this morning that this man is facing a choice of eternity. He was facing the fate of the one thief, and I get back to that in a minute, but we see that the thief, he had a choice he had to make of whether or not he wanted to believe who they said Jesus was. Now, he believed in it, but I want you to realize that there was another thief there, Brother Eddie, and he just couldn't believe what he was hearing. He continued to rail him more, the Bible says. He continued to cuss him and speak unspeakable things to Christ. Can I tell you this morning that that one thief, without a shadow of doubt in my heart, dropped off into an unquenchable fire, memories of remorse, instant unsatisfaction, thirst, misery and pain, frustration and anger, eternal separation, an unlevel wrath of God, and he's still there today in a place called hell where there is no thirst, where you'll thirst forever. You don't want to go to that place.
Amen.
You don't want to desire to go to that place. There should be no desire for anybody on the face of the earth to want to die and go to hell. I'm sorry. But we do know that the case that I'm presenting this morning is that that was a place that he was headed. Mm-hmm. At one point in time in mind in your life, it was a place that we were headed.
Amen.
Unquenchable fires. I can't even imagine that. It's only 70 degrees in here and I'm about to die now. A man who deserved everything that he was getting. He deserved hell. He deserved that unquenchable thirst. He deserved that pain. He deserved that torture. And guess what, man? You're the same way this morning. We deserve that unquenchable thirst. We deserve that uncontrollable fire. We deserve everything that God would give us through his wrath. If God chose today to send his wrath on us, God help us all, because we're not going to make it.
Amen.
And those that are lost, you're tempering with today the wrath of God. You're sitting there and you're like, well, no, I'm fine. I have a while. Can I tell you, you're not like this dying thief. This dying thief is hanging on the cross. He knows he's about to die. But you're one step from eternity. You're one breath from a living hell, a devil's hell. You're one step away from it.
Amen.
But we see the thief here. He had an honest supplication. Sometime, somehow,
somewhere along the way, he saw something. I don't know how he saw it. I don't know what he was looking at. But I like to believe when he looked over about the sixth hour, he saw something different. He saw someone perfect. He saw someone that was a lamb that was being led to slaughter. I believe he saw something that was perfect and without blemish. You say, Brother Josh, when did he see it? I don't know when he saw it. I just know that he did. I don't know, maybe it was there when they laid him on his back and they started beating the hammer and the nails into his hands. And he looked over and he saw a perfect Son of God laying there on his cross. I don't know, maybe when he was yelling at him in blasphemy and saying, God, why me, why me, why me? If you be the king, get me off this cross. I don't know when it was, but he looked over and he saw Jesus as he was. He saw him as the Savior, the perfect one, the Lamb without blemish. And he knew that he didn't deserve what he was getting. He knew that he didn't deserve it, Brother Henry. As he sat there, and the other one continued to rail on, he finally said, hey man, why don't you just give him the rest?
That's right.
He don't deserve it. He's perfect. What did he do to be here? We deserve this. And guess what, church? That's the first step to salvation, is to realizing that you need somebody. You need help. You can't do it on your own. You're not perfect. You're not nobody without him. Oh, can you imagine over there? I'm talking about, Brother Ed, I don't know what changed, but one minute he's just flat railing him. He's just saying, you be the king of the Jews. If you be who you say you are, if you be God in the flesh, will you just get me off of this cross? Will you just take us down here, save yourself and save us with you? Then all of a sudden he looked over. He said, you don't deserve this. But I do. Church, if I got what I deserved this morning,
amen,
I'd be the thief hanging on the cross.
Right.
I'd be the one that was beaten. I'd be the one that was headed for hell, eternity. Because I am not perfect by no means. I'm nowhere near it. I tell you what, but when he looked over, he saw something. The day you got saved, when you looked up, you saw something. You knew that you needed help. It was a realization that I can't get to heaven on my own. Brother Eddie, it was a confession. He gave a confession. He said, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. I deserve the reward of my deeds. I deserve the crucifixion. I deserve eternal damnation. I deserve to be bound hand and foot and cast into a lake of fire. I'm just like this thief. I deserve it all. I deserve to be in hell with my neck broken this morning. I deserve to be there with absolutely no way of getting past the gulf that Luke 16 speaks about, that they can't come to me and I can't go to them. I deserve that this morning. This thief knew that he deserved that this morning. He knew that he needed it. It was his. He deserved it. But he had a request. Glory to God, I had a request.
Amen.
I'm talking about when I looked and I noticed that I was dying and I was going to hell. The Bible says that as many as a stone at thee, his vengeance was merit more than any man, and his form more than the sons of man. Guess what? He looked over and he said, hey, the only request that I have is not to get me down from here. It's not to get me off my cross anymore. Right. The only request that I have is, Lord, today when you get into your kingdom, will you remember me? Right. Will you remember me? Will you remember me? And guess what? Instantly, automatically. Take a few minutes. It didn't take a little while. The Bible says that Jesus looked over at that thing and he said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And guess what? There's no doubt about it in my heart. I'll see Matthew. I'll see Mark. I'll see Luke. I'll see God. I'll see Thomas. I'll see David. I'll see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But guess what, brother? I'm going to meet the dying thing that died on the cross. You know why? Because the Bible says that Jesus said, today,
you shall be with me in paradise.
It's the Calvary on display. It's the greatest salvation you'll find in the scriptures. Do you know why? The blood has just been applied. Nobody else can say that. Nobody else can say that my testimony. I never got to go to church and tell people about Jesus. I never got to tell my family about Jesus. But guess what? My testimony, the Holy Spirit said, was worthy to be put into the Word of God. Amen. So people will know when the blood was first applied. He said today. He said today. He said today. I remember laying in the green and white trailer over there on Wolf Island Road. Been sitting over there. Man, I tell you what. That night I got saved. I quit drinking. I remember the night I laid down and went to sleep that night. Brother Eddie, that promise was given to me. You can circle that and say that's a promise to you. You can circle that. The day you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, it became a promise to you. It became a promise to me.
That's right.
That today, if I would have got in my car that next morning when me and Cole got up and we went to the Bible bookstore, and we went over there and we picked that Bible up. It's still sitting on my shelf. Hey, man, one day to be putting my casket with me. The first Bible that she ever bought me is laying in that room. I tell you what, if I would have died that day on the way to the Bible bookstore, that same promise that was given to this dying thief was given to me, that if I would have died that day, I should be with him in paradise. Amen. If I fall dead right now, I shall be with him in paradise.
That's, right.
That's a promise that was given to me. And it's a promise you too can claim. You just have to reach out to it. You just have to grab a hold to it. You have to say, Lord, save me. I'm a sinner dying, going to hell. I don't know. I deserve everything that's coming my way. But Lord, you are perfect. You are righteous. Amen. Oh, Lord, I tell you what. God's been good to this old sinner. I tell you what, he's been better than good to me. I don't deserve anything that he ever gave me. Oh, I don't deserve his love. I don't deserve his grace. I deserve to be that person, amen, that is dying and going to hell. But he, in the midst of an unlikely person, he in the most unlikely of places, he, I'm talking about, he is the one with the unlikely purpose. I'm telling you what, tonight, one hanging on to the cursed cross of this thief is, I'm telling you, enduring pain, enduring suffering, enduring everything in this life, but God showed up.
Amen.
But God showed up. Oh, let me say that again. But God showed up in the midst of it all. But God showed up. But God will show up to a dying thief on an accursed cross and save his soul for eternity, knowing he don't deserve nothing but hell. But God said, nah, I'll come in on the scene. I'll show up. I'll save this soul, and I'll put it in my holy word that those sitting around, they want to pick it up and read it one day. We'll read why I saved a thief that deserved hell, but I was hanging beside him, and he deserved everything he was getting. But I done it for you.
Yeah.
I done it for that thief.
That's right.
I done it for that thief. And I picture this thief. And his face soared that day, brother. I'm talking about his face just took off soaring. He said, Lord. When he said, Lord, he said, putting him on the throne, amen, of the universe. Then the dying thief said, remember me, putting him on the throne of his own heart. And then guess what? He said, when thou comest into thy kingdom, he was putting him on the throne of David, his father. He knew who he was. He saw him. He knew exactly who he was.
Amen.
And I mean, you have to realize today, if we really want to get closer, if we really want to do the things that God wants us to do, we got to realize who he really is. We got to be saved. We got to be born again. Let me tell you. I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, I believe this response was immediately. He pronounced him the Lord and Savior of his life.
Amen. I believe it was immediately.
That's right.
That this man was saved.
Amen.
Immediately. Born again. Immediately. Washed. White as snow.
Until we realize that we're nothing but a dying thief on a cross in need of a Savior. We're still dying and going to hell. But when you realize that I'm a sinner, I can't get there on my own. This man done nothing wrong. He'll come and save you. Jesus saved me. I'm nothing without you.
Amen.
I deserve hell. But thanks to you, I got the sweet nectar of salvation.
That's right.
Oh, thanks because you drank from the bitter cup of Gethsemane and went to Calvary. I can taste the sweet nectar of God's salvation,
that's
his
right.
mercy and his grace. And even to this very day when I fail him, he's never failed
Amen.
Me. Oh, glory to God. He's been good to me. He's put man of God in my life that I love. He's talking about he's put man of God in my path that's helped me out along the way. Hey, but guess what? There's never been anybody greater that God gave me than Jesus Christ.
Right.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
Amen.
You know that dying thief done that day? He took that verse of scripture that's been quoted all over the world and he believed it.
That's
right.
He believed it.
Amen.
And in just a few moments, in just a few hours, one of those thieves closed their eyes in death and went to a burning hell for blaspheming and rejecting the Son of God. But on the other side,
that's right.
There was a man Amen. Who died, and when he opened his eyes again, he met Jesus, I believe,
Amen.
In paradise. You say you sure it was in paradise? I believe Jesus said today, that shall be with me in paradise.
Amen.
I have no choice but to believe that dying thief was saved.
Amen.
I have no choice but to believe that he was born again, child of God. I have no choice to believe, but one day I'll get to shake his hand and be like, you don't know what your testimony meant. In the case of the dying thief, it shows us we are all sinners. We deserve hell. We deserve torment. We deserve pain. We deserve to be hanging upon our own cross. In the case of the dying thief, we're presented such great love. Today we're celebrating Valentine's Day here at the church, right? You'll find no greater love than the day that Jesus saves you.
That's right.
He showed you that even though he was in pain, even though he was in torture, even though he was in heartache, even though that he had been beaten, the Bible says that God had turned his back on his own son. Guess what? He still cared about that thief on the cross. Even when you fail, even when you're bad, even when you go through things in your life that you feel like you have failed God, he's still there for you. Just like he was there to save a dying thief on a cross.
Amen.
If you'd like to come this morning, you can come.